Intervju Radija Student.
One, two, three, kick. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Ooh, you're looking good. Are you having a good time?
Yeah! I sure am.
Do you like the music?
No.
We'll do the trouser press, baby. One, two, three.
You're so savage, Roger.
Press those trousers.
Ecstasy, Bruce. Ecstasy.
Ja, dobrodošli nazaj v Eter Radio Študent, kjer je z nami že obljubljeni, dolgo obljubljeni Nil Ines, tako imenovani sedmi Monty Pythonovec. Zakaj pa bomo razlagali zdaj v nadaljevanju v naslednjih, recimo temu, 20-25 minutah. Nil Ines, welcome in the air of Radio Student.
Hvala.
Yes, you've been here for a week now or something like that.
Yes,
so.
Yes, and we played in Maribor on Tuesday. And I've been looking at various shows. I've seen The Jungle Book with the puppets with the children this morning, because I am six. I am six.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going on this territory.
Yeah,
then.
I go back to second childhood now.
Okay, we're just trying to listen to some of your British accent, since we've heard that John Cleese mentioned that you're doing pretty well for a Belgian guy.
Well, yeah, exactly. My Belgium was my hobby, because I didn't want anything too demanding. But I love all the Belgian painters, the surrealists. And so seriously, from Bruegel to Bosch through to Magritte and all the Flemish school of painting, it's really, I like it a lot. So I made Belgium my hobby. And so they teased me about it, said I was Belgian. Yeah.
Okay, so I've heard a lot about you. You have a lot of history. You're still doing a lot of very interesting things. I remember of you doing, of course, the band that is supposed to be one of the most funny bands of the 60s, the Bonzo Dog Band. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that you've been collecting some records through flea markets.
That's how we started. We were all students like you. You know, we were art school. And as everybody knows, art students are complete strangers to work. So we needed money for paint and money for beer. So we started playing music in a pub, in a bar. And it was terrible. We didn't care. It was Dada. It was the Bonzo Dog Dada Band. But we got tired of explaining what a turn-of-the-century anti-art movement was. So we changed it to Duda. But we played this terrible old jazz, which we used to find on old records, and it was very good drinking music. And so we got very, very successful as students. So we might as well, you know, do it professionally for a little while. But it turned into quite a long while.
Yeah, it says that you've been collecting some records with really funny titles and buying them without even knowing what you're going
to
get.
Well, that's it. They weren't very expensive. They were like a penny or tuppence, 2 cents, you know. But the thrill of getting something and then taking it home to your wind-up gramophone, you know, you wind the handle, the clockwork, and then you put the record on and listen to it through a horn. And you hear these things like Hunting Tigers Out in India and Ali Baba's Camel and The Stalkers Brought a Son and Daughter to Mr. and Mrs. Mickey Mouse. And we found one, we'd sort of play it to the rest of the band and say, well, yes, we'll do that one. That's really stupid.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what is it with British people and this type of humor? Why did you decide to have a band like this?
I don't know. You're right. It's very much a British sense of humor thing. They just like absurdity. But we all grew up at school with a radio program called The Goon Show. And it was so exciting because, you know, radio is all imagination. You know, the pen is bigger than the budget. You can say, and now we're going to Africa and we're going to go across the desert and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And there were terrible jokes, like they're going across the desert and said, gosh, the sun is hot. And then someone said, well, don't touch it, you know. Or they fall over a boat and there's a big splash, you know, and they pull out and that water was taller than me. And someone says, it's older, that's why. You know, it's very, 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 you know, childish humour, but we all grew up with that. And so we naturally, you know, thought this was silly and other people agreed. You know.
Yes, well, in Slovenia, a lot of people would probably say, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean by that? But tell me, how far did you go with Bonzo Dog Band? Through foreign countries, like touring, how far did you go?
We went to Switzerland, we went to Germany quite a bit, went to Belgium.
So how did they accept it?
Yes, very much so. I mean, our singer, Vivian Sancho, was very visual, you know. A dangerous kind of man, you know. He walked on stage and you had to watch him. You didn't know what he was going to do, except mischievous, you know. So we used masks and we had lots of, you know, visual things. You know, like in comic books, you have the speaking balloon. Okay. We used to have them cut out and hold them up and do things like this. And when everyone is deadly serious, you know, I mean, I was very good friends with Eric Clapton, and Eric Clapton played on some of our songs. But he used to say, I'm really jealous of you, because I would love to go on stage with a parrot on my shoulder, like a pirate. You know, but I said, well, it's your own fault, Eric. You know, there's a poster of you out there with your hair all like this, and it says, Clapton is God. You know, if you really want to be silly like us, you know, you should just do it, you know.
Yeah. So do you still improvise? Do you improvise on the stage, or is it all set? And you know exactly what are you going to do?
No,
like
I don't.
Every word that
no.
I'm going to say, you know.
No. I like to feel the way things are going. In fact, I make a point of, you know, I always change maybe what I think should do, because I play the piano, I play the ukulele, play the guitar. And when I'm in England and I don't have a luggage problem, I have another guitar and two other things I use. And so I like to make sure that I'm using them evenly. But apart from that, I don't always plan what I'm going to say next. But I, at the moment, I'm trying to do a theme in the show, you know, A People's Guide to World Domination, which is, again, it's not very good. It's not a very good guide. It's a bit like the help button on Windows, you know.
Yes, I've heard a lot about different ideas that you're having, like in this period of time, like the D-list celebrities, like something to do with Tiger Woods, which is very famous right now.
I think there's too much emphasis on celebrity and money. This cannot be all there is to a culture. I'm fighting for the individual to come back. I heard a very lovely thing. Sort of somebody said, "You're born an original, don't die a copy." You know, and everything in the modern media is making people feel inadequate. Not everyone can be rich and famous. It's like if everybody had a luxury yacht. There'd be no trees left in the world. You know, you have to sort of...
We're getting there.
Yeah, yeah, I know we are. But I call it cognitive stupidity, you know.
Okay, so what would you say about differences about celebrities today and celebrities in decades back? Would any group today point you to that point where you do something like Retros?
There are two kinds of celebrity now. There are the ones that have actually done something and are good at something, and others who just make sure they're in magazines all the time and on terrible television shows. And you say, I don't know half the people they are or what they've done. But I mean, the important thing is making children think they have to be like that. And they sell celebrity dolls to little girls, you know. And it's wicked, really. There ought to be a law saying, no, you shouldn't do this, you know. Because it's bad in the long run for everybody, for society, you know. Everyone should feel they're valuable, you know, and not feel that they were a failure right from the word go.
Okay, I'm guessing you're not watching Big Brother and stuff like that.
Hate it.
Okay, I think the listeners of Radio Student as well. Yeah. Okay, so what about the Monty Python? This is something that we just can't avoid, of course.
No, but I knew them before they became Monty Python, because the Bonzos and Michael Palin, Terry Jones and Eric Idle.
You did a children's show.
That's right, the children's show called Do Not Adjust Your Set, which means, as in the old days of television, if the picture went wrong and it was their fault, not yours, your aerial, they used to put a sign up saying, do not adjust your set, which is stupid because sometimes you couldn't see it because it was their fault.
Okay.
But that's why, and we were very inventive and given freedom to make a kind of show that any way we liked. And so, in a way, that was like the rehearsal for Monty Python.
Yes, but what was it like? I would consider that it was a lot of creative minds on the set. So
yes.
How did you come to a point, oh, we're going to do this? Was it ever like that the others said, oh, that's just stupid?
No.
And the other one then said, yeah, but that's what we're doing here.
We were complete anarchists. If there were lots of ideas, we'll do it all. And so if the camera gets something, good. If it doesn't, well, doesn't matter, you know. The others were more disciplined. I mean, the band were just totally indisciplined. But Eric Idle has said working with the band gave them the idea that they could actually be, you know, anywhere. And a lot of Monty Python sketches don't finish like normal sketches with what they call a punchline, you know, sort of ha-ha or wah-wah. But you could go into Terry Gilliam's animation. And out of Terry's animation, you could be in somewhere else. So the whole thing was like going down a tunnel, you know, in the swimming things. So you didn't know quite what was going to happen next, you know.
Okay. I've as well heard something about the proper time of going on the stage and that you had some problems with it, saying that you were pushed or...
John Cleese, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was about to go on and do something and John suddenly got me mugged by the arms. I went, ha-ha, very funny. And he, all right, John, all right, you know, made your point, you know. But right until the end, he knew just to make me angry and say, what do you think you're doing? And then he let me go. I said, yeah, you know.
But
it was a lot of that all the time. Graham and Terry used to come out like little old women, you know, talking about, have you seen Jean-Paul Sartre? Oh, when will he be free? Oh, that's a good one. And that sort of thing. And they used to put their own lipstick on, and it turned into lipstick wars. And they come on from...
You mean the Cure band and...
No. They were babies.
I just tried to include him. Yeah.
All right. No, they put lipstick on because they were dressed as women, and they came one from stage left, one from stage right, and we looked. You know, if we weren't doing it, it's time for the lipstick. So we'd all come and see what they'd done, and it got so bad that one day, Terry had put lipstick on his face like Homer Simpson. His complete upper lip, chin was all lipstick. And we thought, ah, he's won. But no, Graham had done a thin line of lipstick from his forehead all the way down his cheeks, over his chin, back up again. And so there was plenty of indiscipline.
So what would you say today, when you look back, how old were you all then back at the time, if you consider yourself today as a six-year-old.
About four.
About four. So you're getting somewhere,
yeah,
huh?
No, yeah, well, I don't want to stop at six, yeah.
Okay. So this John Cleese guy, yeah, I called him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I asked
he
him.
He told me, yeah.
He told you, oh, yeah, well, small world, in Slovenia especially. And he described me some of your cigarettes of
yes.
the old time. He said, yeah. so strong, they were like something the police would throw at you during a riot.
Yes, he said that in the 7th Python.
He did.
Yeah, I know, but he was always like, give me one of your cigarettes, would you? Yeah, here you are, John. You know.
Yeah, but he really couldn't handle it, could he?
Yeah, he did. He did, actually.
He did.
But I mean, every time there was a gap in the show or whatever, you know. No, I mean, I was the same. I used to just smoke half of them. It was very extravagant, but no, I think the rest of it would have been very deadly. You know? But touch wood. I have no problems with. I don't smoke anymore mm-hmm. because I think when they stopped letting you smoke in bars and things like that, I thought I don't want to be out in the gutter. You know,
it's not fun anymore.
No, well, the other thing is that I read this book. It's like a Monty Python book. The title is Alan Carr's Easy Way to Stop Smoking. Oh, come on. But he does say that, you know, that nicotine doesn't actually help you relax, concentrate, or any of the things you tend to use a cigarette, you know. All it does is make your body want more nicotine. And in 3 weeks, your body doesn't want it anymore. So I don't know why they sell people nicotine patches, because nicotine doesn't do anything. It's not even a decent drug. So it was easy. And they said also, remember when you have your first cigarette, thousands of years of evolution, you know, what does your body do? You cough and you... No. But I have an excuse. When I was young, it was, you know, fashionable. It was in the cinema. To be grown up, you had to smoke. But now, you know, they know that it's not good for you. And it's... a waste of money as well.
Yeah, when you saw the Monty Python and the Holy Grail, did you think for a bit of a second that maybe people will consider it as a waste of money?
What, smoking? Or the Holy Grail?
The Holy Grail.
I don't know.
Was it a matter of time, or we instantly knew that we're onto something big here?
No, you never think like that. I don't know. I wasn't aware of any of us thinking like that. You just want to get it finished as best you can. And Terry, you know, is also very keen on Bruegel, and there's all this, you know, the look of it is really quite good. But there was no money to make a real film, so we had coconuts, and we couldn't afford horses. But the whole film cost £175,000. The whole film. And Led Zeppelin put some money in. Tim Rice put some money in, about £10,000. And that's how it was. But it's the only script. When the script came through the post and I was reading it at home on the settee, the sofa, it's the only script I've ever read when I've fallen off the sofa laughing. The scene with the Black Knight, where, you know, they have the fight, you know, and he chops his arm off, and he said, "There, the victory is mine. It's only a scratch." You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, stupid humour. Also, it's quite political as well, because when it asks the question, "How do you get kings?" and it does it because, and you only get kings. It's almost like the mafia and protection. You know, they have some soldiers, and they will protect you from marauding other people with things, and you pay them some taxes. And they come in into your village and they set fire to a couple. See, there's a lot of this happening, so pay me some money and it won't happen. So that's how you get kings. And it's quite funny when he says, "Old woman," and he says, "Man." And he said, "Old man, I'm 39. You know, it's wonderful.
So thanks to you and the guys, we have a lot of material to laugh to. But what about you? You're traveling around the world, I'm assuming. No, yes?
Yes, I am. I'm off to America in 2 weeks'
time. So is there anything that you just laugh to? You go like, oh, this is just wild.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think laughter is a way of understanding complex things. Because sometimes it's too heavy, the subject. And I really feel strongly that, you know, that my grandchildren are growing up in a world where, you know, it's reality is debatable now. You know, you don't know whether it's like the virtual world of television or the people farming that goes on with smiley faces selling useless shiny things. The universe is wonderful. It's free. If you think about all that, it's free. You don't have to buy plastic things or things that go meep, 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 dong, 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 and all that kind of thing. It's so I want to go out there and I want to sort of, I have a movement called Ego Warriors, not eco, ego,
yeah.
You know, so everybody individually can stand up to the forces that are trying to make them a mass sheep flock or whatever. And, you know, and the salute is to thumb your nose. You know, we call it cocking a snoot. This is brilliant radio here. I'm holding my nose to my thumb with my hand out in the age-old gesture of defiance and derision. But I don't know, I'm on a mission, yes. And on a comic mission to sort of do something half serious.
Oh, right. We respect people on missions.
Oh, that's right.
I bet your grandchildren, they do as well?
Yes, they love coming around and dressing up and things like that. And now I'm recording them with the garage band thing. They do voices and they make their own radio. My grandson's called Max and he's 10. And we have Max's radio.
So he's really older than you are? He's 10?
No. He and I know. It's six is everybody loses it after six.
Oh, okay.
So if anyone comes to my show, they should bring themselves. Also bring the six-year-old they once were.
Yeah, I've read somewhere that this show that we're about to see tonight, here tonight, it's as well for kids and children. For kids and animals.
And animals.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well,
I don't know if the organizers know that.
Well,
I'm going to bring a dog and I'm going to sue you if I'm not allowed to bring the dog in.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I wrote that because it's difficult to describe what I do on stage. It's
organizers know because they were translating this stuff.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, if you translate it literally, I mean, it's what I'm saying is I'm really describing it in the end like a wine, which you can't describe wines, you know, sort of. It's like instead of good with fish and meat, it's good with animal or children. But really, if you... You know, I say that if I was to be able to describe what I do on stage in two sentences or a paragraph, then I wouldn't need to do what I do on stage. Because it's really a be there thing. You have to be there.
No, we would still pay for the copy paste.
What?
Yeah, we would still pay for the copy paste.
But everybody says, what can they expect to see when they come to the, you know, and you're expected to say it in one go? So maybe, you know, well, you'll come and see a lovable, old, funny man. And then I come on.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So tell me, I was asking before, and I'm still interested in what do you consider funny today from what others do, like something that we all know, like Family Guy? Do you know Family Guy?
Some animated Simpsons are good.
Simpsons are good.
Yeah, I think they're quite good. Yeah. And there's a lot of slick American programs, which, you know, are better at irony than a lot of English programs, because English television is really hopeless compared to what it was trying to be a while ago. But I don't find a lot of stuff out there really funny. You know, it's.
I thought so.
Yeah. But I find the gathering storm clouds of. I learned a Slovenian joke. It might not be simply...
Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present Neil Innes and his joke in Slovenian language.
Oh, I can't say it in Slovenian.
Oh, come on. No, of course you can. You've been here for a week now.
I know.
Oh, come on.
One more day and I'd have seen everything. I know.
Come on. We'll pretend we understand, okay?
Okay. Two planets. And one says, hello, how are you? And he says, I'm not very well. Why, what's the matter? So I'm suffering from Homo sapiens. Oh, don't worry. It won't last long.
Okay, goes well with Avatar as well.
Okay. But no, we do have to sort of pay attention to it. But we're not going to be able to do anything while there's, you know, this greed for making money all the time. We haven't progressed since the pharaohs.
Okay, we I'll do write need, that down. So, yeah. I'll quote you.
No, all right. I'm to blame for everything.
Yeah, you're good. Okay, so some more things on children's shows. You did some.
I did.
Very known things.
Yeah,
on
I was
British
involved.
Television.
Yeah, it was a show to help young children read. You know, like 3-4 year olds. I loved doing that. My son, my youngest son, was 3 or 4, and I played a magician, a wizard. I was doing spells and things like that. I did over 100 of these programs. I also wrote and did the voices for a thing called Raggy Dolls. These little dolls, they lived. They were rejects. One had the head.
Has
on.
Nothing to do with Bob Marley, probably.
Bob Marley?
Yeah, nothing to do. Well, Raggy Dolls, I don't know.
No, Raggy. Rag. Not Raggy.
Ah, okay. I thought so, so I needed to ask. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, they were like rag dolls.
Okay.
But Raggy Dolls, anyway, what they called them. But they all had something wrong with them. So, but they learned to support each other, and that was a good message for children. And it became very, very popular, and I'm proud of, you know, having done that. We did again, nearly 120 of them. And I really enjoyed working in television for children, because it's a lot harder than some people think to write for children. I mean, when I went to children's television, I could see people rushing the other way, hoping to get into grown-up television, which is more childish than anything, you know. But in children's television, you have to deal with big issues. And, yeah, it was good fun.
So do your grandchildren, do they watch Monty Python's and...
I've recently bought all the Laurel and Hardy DVDs. And I'm educated.
Are they suffering or they like it?
They love it.
They love it, yes.
I mean, if Ollie will hit Stan on the head with a brick, you know, because he's been stupid. And, you know, nothing will happen for a while, and then he'll suddenly go, ow. And my grandson, when he laughs from his toes. You know, little tears come out of his eyes. He can really laugh. And I've decided lately that the happiest, you know, the most wonderful sound in the earth is a happy child.
Okay. No matter of what age.
No, yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so we are all invited today.
Yes,
on your special show concert to Caverna Union. Yeah, you're about to go. Yeah.
Oh, we have to, yes, I have to do it, yes.
What's with your security? Isn't that very nice? I don't like him. I like you. Come on, we still have like 30 minutes.
This is Bastian Gombach.
Yeah.
He's the musical plumber. Any piece of pipe he can play.
I know.
Yeah.
I've
he's
seen.
The most incredible.
Yeah, he's amazing.
This is how we met. I come back from New York, and my friend said, you must come and see this band. I said, I've just come back from New York. Come and see it.
We're not going to say who are we talking about, because they should come to Caverna Union and they could see him there.
A surprise.
It's a surprise, yeah. And he's older than 9, we could say that.
Yeah.
And he's a man. He's a man, all right.
But anyway, I'm very, very, very good friends. Friends for life with these people. So that's why I come back here.
Neil, thank you very much.
Thank you. Havala. I'm still not saying it properly, am I?
I'm going to pretend you're doing just fine. Oh. Yeah, you're well, but... Next time you come, another joke.
All right.
Okay, Neil zdele pravkar odhaja iz Etra Radija Študent, ker se mu skrajno mudi, ker ima tle 16 bodyguardov, ne, in niso navdušeni na tem, da bi ostajal še kaj tle kot pol minute. Videli ga bomo namreč nocoj v kavarni Union ob 8. zvečer v šovu, kjer bomo doživeli vse, kar se doživ da od kvalitetnega humorja, od kvalitetne glasbe in tako dalje.
That's easy for you to say.
You bastard, I knew you speak some Slovene language.
Kavarna Union Varieté.
Varieté, evo, to je še beseda, ki jo velja omeniti. Zdaj pa bom poslušal po moje še nekaj od Betty LaFette. Srečno.
Dobro
se to povedo, ej.
Arrivederci.
Ja, se se
povedo,
to pa italijanščine.
Arrivederci.
Ja.
I have to wave my hand, it's radio.
Shoot him. Don't you laugh. Man. I'm really fast. Our stagecoach jingle jangled into town one.
Interview Radio Student.